And now I want to go straight to the line and bring on our other guest for the evening, our special guest, Brother the Pride of the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois, and Hoop Dreams Claim, William Gates. William, how are you, brother? You're on with Ricky Hampton and Michael Robertson.
Brothers, thanks for having me, man. You guys up late, man. You know, we're on Central Time this way.
Well, I'm all right. We're doing the best we can, man.
I hear you, man. That first segment, man, was awesome. I loved it, man. I loved it. He hit everything right on the money.
Yeah, you know, I thought about you as I was listening to Robert, because you were part of that, highly recruited. A lot of people, you know, wanting your services. As you look back on that, what are your thoughts?
You know, you in my time, I would say my generation of ballers, we were, I would say, the beginning stages of it. I'm not saying we started it, but I think we were the beginning stages of it, when people began to really say, hey, you know what? Something ain't right about this. You got to remember, my era is the 5'5" era.
Yeah.
So you got guys, you know, the 5'5" and, you know, the long shorts and the jerseys. And so, you know, that crew, you know, college sports was really beginning to be exposed, saying, guess what? Somebody making money, and it ain't the athletes. So, of course, you know, man, I've heard all the talks about, man, athletes can't get paid and this and that. And this is what I love, what he was talking about. You know, at the end of the day, we're grateful for the scholarship. We really are, because we're trying to use this to advance our careers, advance our lives. But I thought that's what college was all about, too. Why take away money-making opportunities from kids, even while they're in school, even while they are attending class? Why take away opportunities for somebody to better their life?
Totally agree.
That's a good point, man. That's a good point.
So, Will, we've gone over 20-some years since the awesome documentary. So what are you up to now, and how much has that documentary affected you positively and maybe even negatively?
Well, I tell you, man, you're right. It's interesting. It has been over 20-something years, and for Arthur and myself, realistically, it's probably been about 20, 25, 26 years for us. It's been 20 years since it hit the theaters and, you know, gained some notoriety. Man, I would say positively how the documentary has affected me. Here I am. I'm on you guys' show, so it still has life. Hoop Dream still has meaning. It still serves a purpose in terms of that the story that Arthur and I have, you know, we're just two men of millions of kids every day waking up with that dream, basketball, man, to try to make some money at it. It opened up doors, man, that I would say that probably wouldn't have gotten open. I can also say it opened up doors that a lot quicker than some doors probably should have gotten open. Now, the negative aspect of it is that what the documentary does is, because people think that that was our everyday life, and that, you know, we didn't do anything else, and that, you know, there was never any good moments, and that everything was always, you know, terrible, and that just wasn't the case, man. People look at Arthur's story, you know, and they think it was, you know, day after day after day after day, that, you know, nothing ever good happened for him. And that wasn't the case, man. You know, Arthur and I, we grew up together. We knew each other. We knew each other's family, man. You know, we came from loving families, man, that did the best that they could to get us to the point where we were at. And unfortunately, depending on who saw it, you know, they may have judged it one way or the other.
Well, from a personal level, were you pleased with how you guys were depicted in the film?
You know, it's interesting, because I'm going to expose some of this documentary making issue stuff tonight too. But from the way that it was depicted in the movie, was that Arthur shows up to St. Joe's, Isaiah Thomas is there, you know, and you know, a couple of days later, I show up to St. Joe's, and I'm talking with Isaiah. The truth was that that wasn't how it went down. I was already going to St. Joe's. When Isaiah showed up at camp, it was just a normal basketball camp. I was actually there. So I had already enrolled at St. Joe's. The plan for my life had already kind of been, you know, panned out that I was going to go there. And Arthur and the camera crew shows up. And so they began to, you know, they were filming and doing stuff like that, and they were interviewing Coach Pingator. And I know a lot of people get on Coach Pingator, but Coach Pingator said, hey, man, you guys doing this documentary, listen, I got a kid coming from Chicago, from Cabrini. You might want to talk to him. So he actually introduced me to those guys, and then on the spot, them guys asked me, hey, would you like to participate in this documentary? And that's kind of how that door opened. So in my case, I was kind of, as they say, man, in the right place at the right time, doing what I love to do.
Wow. Okay.
Wow, wow, wow. Hey, and Will, it's hard to believe it was all the way back in 1994 when that thing premiered. And like you said, for you guys, how many years did they follow you guys around?
Man, you're talking about from summer going into our freshman year to the fall of our freshman year in college. So, I mean, you're looking at, what, 4.5 years, close to 5 years of them literally following. Now, a lot of people always ask me, how is that done? Well, the first couple of years, it was really intense. You know, you can see, even in the documentary, it's almost like they were with us every day. Of course, because it was a documentary, you know, they would run out of money, so we saw them sparingly, you know, the junior and senior season. You kind of see them show up for, like, big moments in our lives, you know, whether it was good or bad, you know, they were there. But the first couple of years, man, they probably on average, maybe we saw them, you know, 3-4 days a week, and they would spend literally, you know, 12 to 15 hours with us just videotaping, you know, catching moments. Like, you know, people see 3 hours of footage, but they shot over 470 hours worth of film. So all people got was three. There's still, like, you know, wow. You know, 460-something hours out there.
Wow. So Will, how did the people around react to that? Like, you know, you go to Marshall, you know, it could be some rough crowds at the Marshall games or, you know, some other, you know, courts around it. So how did the people around react when they see you cats getting followed around with cameras? How was the ambiance around you?
I think the setting, like you said, man, I think that really kind of dictated what was going on. You know, when the inner city schools, man, they gonna do what they do. They gonna clown. They gonna have fun. They gonna enjoy the moment. You know, St. Joe's is what it was, man. Everything was studious. It was shirt and tie. It was, you know, be serious about life at the age of 14. You know, it was that. But I will say this, man. When I was going to the camps, though, man, the guys gave me so much love because it became like, man, who's this kid with a camera crew following him around? You know, they were like, my goodness, man, how you get that done? I need to get me one, you know. So it really kind of open up the door to who I was, because I try to tell people this too, man. You know, when we was coming up, and you all remember this, man, we have all this social media. So you didn't know who was out there balling and who you was killing. As a matter of fact, first time I went to camp, I was playing against this kid, and I got into him. After the game, remember, still to this day, Harry Garfinkel, who used to run the five-star camp, came up to me and was like, Will, do you know who that was? I've never seen him in my life. He's like, man, that's the best guard in the state, and you just destroyed him. I said, and this is my words to him, too. I said, man, if that's the best guard in the state, I'm going to be all right. You know? we didn't have all that social media. You know, now kids know who's number one before they are 10 years old. You have to go compete and find out who was the best out there. So,
who was that player?
Getting
bro?
Back, come here.
Who was the player?
Oh, man. I don't want to name him because we on radio. He might call me. You got to put me in a glass like that.
Okay.
Let me step in just a second.
He did he did have a really, really, really good career at the University of Illinois.
We're going to do some investigative reporting on that one, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm sure the inspiration for a lot of those cats that are doing their thing today. Because you know everybody.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, man. It's interesting that you say that because, you know, Arthur and I, we still get messages like, you know, man, Kyrie sent us a message, man. Like, man, this movie inspired me so much. Damon Leonard sent us a message, man. He'll put our picture up like, man, these guys here, if you ain't seen it, you better go see it. As a matter of fact, Isaiah Thomas, who's killing over in Boston, has my quote tattooed on his back.
Wow. So, what quote is that?
So, you know, if I don't make it, you know, people ask me if I make it, don't forget them. And if I don't make it, don't you forget me. I mean, he got that on his back.
Picture of it.
Wow.
Wow, I remember you saying that, brother.
Man. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, what about your son? What about your sons? When they watch that and they see little you, how do they react to that? They say, oh, look at dad when he was a teenager. And what is that like when your kids react?
I tell you this, man. The greatest moments my kids have given me is when you know, because, you know, they resell the St. Joe's jersey, and they love wearing it, man. You know, that's the greatest thing, man. When you know, normally with your kids, they want to get away from you. But the fact that they love putting it on all their lives, man, they wore the number 22. You know, and they always put up quotes like, you know, 22 is more than just a number. It's a life. It's a legacy. I mean, for them to want to, you know, be a part of that. And it's something that, I mean, I've never said, hey, man, go wear 22, or, hey, you know, your name, Will Gates Jr., man, you know, you got to live up to something. No, they just, man, for them to honor, you know, their dad in that way, I'm just like, you know, even now my youngest boy, you know, he plays for me, AAU, Team Hoop Dreams, and he's like, man, Dad, I want number 22. I'm like, okay, you know. So it's been a real honor, man, that the boys, they never shied away from it, because, you know, when you think about it, Hoop Dreams has been more than just a basketball documentary. It was a life documentary, and you know, they had to experience that growing up. You know, Arthur and I, we want your typical normal basketball, you know, for lack of a better word, celebrities, you know, meaning that, you know, we walk into the grocery store, you know, the mom who never seen sports in her life, seen a sports game, but saw Hoop Dreams, you know, pulling us to the side, you know, the history teacher, you know, who's, you know, 75 years old, can't even tell you who LeBron James is, but have seen Hoop Dreams, you know. You know, it's been a different kind of role for Arthur and myself to, and it's been one, man, that we love and we appreciate. And like I say, here we are, man, 27 years later, we still talking about Hoop Dreams. It's
absolutely. We're honored to have you on the show.
Absolutely. Man, my pleasure, man. I appreciate what you brothers doing, man.
Yeah, but what you and Arthur did, and maybe we'll get you and Arthur on together one of these nights, because that Hoop Dreams, like you said, it is still alive today, and your story is something that is going to live on for a long time, and we were glad to have you here to share some of your memories with us tonight.
Man, would love to. I call that cat too, man, and make sure he get on the horn. He'll do it, man. Arthur's good brother, man. That's still my brother.
Okay.
He look crazy.